Here on VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, John Russell, Gregory Stockel, and Dan Novak. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
A series of powerful tornadoes tore through six American states over the weekend, killing at least 90 people. Tornadoes are destructive storms in which powerful winds move around a central point. One of the tornadoes moved through Mayfield, a small town in Kentucky. The storm caused widespread destruction there and killed at least 8 people. The 8 people confirmed dead in Mayfield worked in a candle factory that was destroyed in the storm. 8 more workers at the factory remain missing. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear had earlier feared up to 100 people may have been killed in his state. But on Sunday, he reduced that estimate down to as low as 50. Mayfield is a town of about 10,000 people. Judy Burton is a Mayfield local who spoke to the Associated Press about the storm. She said she was able to take shelter in the basement of her apartment building with her dog and other people before the tornado hit. When observing the damage later, she could not believe the storm's destructive path. As she looked up at what used to be her third-floor apartment, Burton could still see her clothes hanging, but the walls were gone. Across the street, a damaged church was closed up. A restaurant where neighbors often gathered for lunch was lost in the destruction. "It's gone. It's terrible. Just terrible. I'm shaking," Burton told the AP. "It's going to take me a while to settle my nerves." Burton cannot imagine a single family in town not mourning after the disaster. She says Mayfield is the kind of place where everyone is somehow connected to everyone else. In Mayfield, hundreds of buildings and homes were reduced to nothing. Many structures that were still standing had their roofs torn off. Streets were filled with clothes, fallen trees, and material from buildings. Local officials said the fire station was inoperable and most of the town's police cars were destroyed. Burton said she worries about her neighbor and her dog. They are feared among the dead, as they were probably unable to escape as walls collapsed around them. Shelters were set up in the area, with donations and volunteers coming in from several surrounding communities. At the shelters, people could get food, water, and clothes. I'm Brian Lynn.
hotel in Vietnam is offering people the chance to try gold leaf-covered steaks. The move comes after a government minister was caught on camera eating the food at a London restaurant. Such steaks can cost over $1,300. Last year, the Dolce Hanoi Golden Lake Hotel used large amounts of the metal during a building improvement project. During the work, gold plating was added to everything from bathtubs to toilets. Now, as part of a business plan, the hotel has changed the name of one of its eating places to the Golden Beef Restaurant. The restaurant put the famous gold-coated Tomahawk Wagyu steak the Vietnamese minister ate in London on the menu, charging about $45 a person. Win Hu Duong is head of Hua Bin Group, which owns the hotel. He told Reuters, "We have served more than 1,000 guests who came to try out the golden steak." Turkish cook Nusret Goce, also known as Salt Bay, published a video online of himself feeding Vietnam's Minister of Public Security, Tô Lâm, the gold-covered tomahawk steak. The video, released last month, received wide attention back in Vietnam. People were surprised that the official would eat a steak that can cost up to $1,914 at some restaurants. Many in the Southeast Asian country questioned how such a high-ranking Communist Party official could eat such costly food, especially when his restaurant visit came as the Vietnamese government was carrying out a large campaign against corruption. Officials in Vietnam have not commented on the incident. The event led to more publicity in Vietnam when police called in a beef noodle seller who filmed himself copying, or imitating, Goce. Police in Vietnam sometimes call in for questioning activists and people who publicly criticize the ruling Communist Party. The noodle seller denied he was trying to make fun of anyone. Even though the hotel in Hanoi had already been serving gold steaks, the recent incident in London was the reason for the restaurant's new name, said Duong. He is a Vietnam War veteran and former taxi driver who made his money in building projects and property. The restaurant imports its gold leaves and uses about 10 to 15 on each tomahawk steak, which can serve about 4 people. I thought, why don't I open a restaurant that sells golden steaks that are affordable, Duong said. Affordable is a term that means less costly. At $45, the dish still costs too much for many, however. Monthly earnings in Vietnam average about $183. Still, people at the restaurant appeared to feel they were getting good value for their money. Pham Duy Bích was one visitor who enjoyed the stay at the restaurant, describing it as one of the most memorable experiences of my life. I'm John Russell.
New research on dinosaur footprints unearthed in Spain adds to growing evidence that a dinosaur that was genetically similar to the Tyrannosaurus rex was extremely agile. The Tyrannosaurus rex was a very large meat-eating dinosaur that was not agile. The findings were published on December 9th in Scientific Reports, which covers natural sciences. The findings announced the existence of sets of fossilized dinosaur footprints that prove the dinosaur could move quickly. These footprints join other sets found in Utah and Texas. One of the sets there shows dinosaurs running at speeds over 48 kilometers per hour. The Spanish footprints showed speeds of nearly 45 kilometers per hour. To figure out the running speed, scientists measured the length of the footprints and then considered the height of the place where the dinosaur's legs meet the body, or the hip. They also needed to consider the distance between one footprint and another on the same foot. All the known sets of prints that show speed come from a family of dinosaurs called theropods. These carnivorous or meat-eating dinosaurs stood on two legs and could not fly. They are like the famed Velociraptor, a dinosaur seen in many famous movies. The researchers estimated that the animal that created the most recent set of footprints was probably 1.5 to 2 meters tall and 4 to 5 meters long from mouth to tail. Scientists think there may be faster dinosaurs, but these footprints have been easier to find. I'm Gregory Stockel.
Scientists are examining available data to try to understand who might win the battle of the coronavirus variants. Right now, the Delta variant is the dominant variant in the world. But after looking at data from South Africa and Britain, some scientists say the Omicron variant may soon overtake it. It's still early days, but Omicron is likely to outcompete Delta in many, if not all, places, said Dr. Jacob Lemieux. He researches coronavirus variants for a group led by Harvard Medical School. But other experts said it is too soon to know whether Omicron will spread more quickly and easily than Delta. Matthew Binneker is a virus expert at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He said, "We'll know in about 2 weeks whether Omicron will overtake Delta." He noted that the U.S. is still seeing significant surges of the Delta variant. Many important questions about Omicron remain unanswered. It is still unclear if the virus causes milder or more severe illness. It is also not yet known if it might escape immunity from earlier COVID-19 illness or vaccines. On the issue of spread, scientists point to what is happening in South Africa, where Omicron was first found. Omicron has quickly spread there and has nearly become the dominant strain. Health experts worry the country is at the start of a new wave that may overcrowd hospitals. In the middle of November, South Africa averaged less than 200 COVID-19 cases per day. But last week, the country saw more than 10,000 cases per day. Experts say Omicron makes up more than 90% of the new cases in Gauteng province, the center of the new wave. the new variant is quickly spreading and becoming dominant in South Africa's 8 other provinces as well. Willem Hanekom is director of the Africa Health Research Institute in South Africa. "The virus is spreading extraordinarily fast," Hanekom said. "If you look at the slopes of this wave that we're in at the moment, it's a much steeper slope than the first 3 waves that South Africa experienced." Scientists say it is unclear whether Omicron will act the same way in other countries as it has in South Africa. "But in Britain," Lemieux said, "we're seeing what appears to be a signal of exponential increase of Omicron over Delta." "In the United States, there's still a lot of uncertainty," he said. "But based on what we've observed in South Africa, it's likely to become the dominant strain in the coming weeks and months and will likely cause a surge in case numbers." It is not yet known what such a surge would mean for public health. Hanekom said early data from South Africa show that reinfection rates are much higher with Omicron than earlier variants. That would suggest the virus is escaping some immunity. It also shows the virus seems to be infecting younger people, mostly those who are unvaccinated. Early information also shows most cases in hospitals have been mild. But experts say the situation could be different in other parts of the world or in different groups of patients. "It'll be really interesting to see what happens when more infections potentially occur in older adults or those with underlying health conditions," Binnaker said. As the world waits for answers, scientists suggest people do all they can to protect themselves. "If people are not vaccinated, they should get vaccinated," Lemieux said. "If people are eligible for boosters, they should get boosters, and then do all the other things that we know are effective for reducing transmission." I'm Dan Novak.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The cattle industry started in Texas during the 1870s. With its growth came a new kind of worker, the man who watched and took care of the cattle. These men, who watched the cows and rode with them as they moved across the wild lands, were often young. Just boys, and so they were called cowboys. Kay Gallant tells what life was like for the early American cowboy.
People all over the world have seen all sorts of films about the cowboy. And he is often shown in television shows. But the real life of the cowboy is not often shown. His work has been hard, and his life lonely and full of danger. The cowboy has told his own story in many songs and ballads. Hundreds of these have come from cowboys whose names are not known. They just sang these songs as they rode on the saddles of their horses across the cattle lands, or as they sat at their campfires at night. They sang about the things that were close to them, horses and cows and danger and death. Often they sang about the long ride to the cattle markets, where the cows were sold for beef, as in this song called "Get Along, Little Dogie." Dogie is another name for a young cow, especially one which wanders away from the herd. The song tells how the young cowboy keeps driving the dogies forward. He feels sorry for them because they will soon be sold for meat. But that's their hard luck, not his. And he keeps pushing them on while he sings.
Well, as I was a-walking one morning for pleasure, well, I spied a young cowboy a-riding along. Well, his hat was shoved back and his spurs was a-jingling, and as he was riding, he was singing this song. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, you know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. It's early in the springtime, we round up those dogies. We cut them out, brand them, and bob off the tails. Round up the horses, load up the chuck wagon, and then throw the dogies out on the north trail. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home. Well, your mother was raised way down in Texas, where the Jimson weed and those choyas grow. We'll fill you up on those prickly pear briars until you are ready for Idaho. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home.
One of the most famous of cowboy ballads is this one called The Chisholm Trail.
Put in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best darn cowboy ever was born. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yi. Well, I started up the trail October 23rd. Started up the trail with the two you heard. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yi. Up every morning for daylight, and before I sleep the moon shines bright. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yi. With a $10 horse and a $40 saddle, I'm going down to Texas for to punt them cattle. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yi. Well, old Ben Bolt was a fine old boss, and he went to see his gal on a sore back horse. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yi. There's a stray in the herd, and the boss said kill it, so I shot him in the rump with the handle of a skillet. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yi. And I went to the boss to draw my roll, and he had me figured out $9 in the hole. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yi. Roping and a-tying and a-branding all day, I'm a-working mighty hard for a mighty little pay. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yi. Well, I went to the boss and we had a little chat, and I hit him in the face with my old slouch hat. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yi. With my foot in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best dang cowboy ever was born. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yi. Well, I'm gonna get married just as quick as I can, and I won't punch cattle for an old darn man. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yi-yi.
Day and night, the horse was at the cowboy's side. A cowboy was as proud of his horse as he was of his skill in riding him. There is this feeling in the song, I Ride an Old Paint. A paint, or pinto, is a horse of three or more different colors.
I ride an old paint, lead an old Dan, gone to Montana to throw the hooligan.
them in the coolies and water in the draw. Tails are all matted and their backs are all raw. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and a raring to go. Old Bill Jones had two daughters and a song. One went to college and the other went wrong. His wife got killed in a free-for-all fight. Still he keeps singing from morning till night. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and a-raring to go. I've worked in your town, worked on your farm, and all I got to show is the muscle in my arm. Blisters on my feet and the callus on my hand. I'm going to Montana to throw the Julian. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and raring to go. When I die, take my saddle from the wall. Put it on my pony, lead him out of his stall. Tie my bones to his back, turn our faces to the west. We'll ride the prairie that we love the best. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and stuffy and a-raring to go. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and stuffy or a-raring to go.
The cattle herds were driven a very long way to the cattle markets and had to be kept and watched on the open trail for many weeks. And the trail took the cowboys over rough country in all kinds of weather. The wild prairie lands were not friendly to men or animals. It was a lonely land, and the howling of wolves and winds at night made it more so. Across this strange land, no man in the early days of the West knew just where death was waiting for him. A listener hears the mournful feeling cowboys had for the prairie in this song called The Dying Cowboy. He does not want to be buried out in these wild lands, in the lone prairie, as the song says. Still, the dying cowboy does not get his wish. There is no choice. He can be buried only in the lone prairie, in a narrow grave, 6 by 3, 6 feet deep and 3 feet wide.
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low. From the pouted lips of a youth who lay on his dying bed at the close of day. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls and the wind blows free, in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Bury me not on the lone prairie. It matters not, I've oft been told, where the body lies when the heart grows cold. Yet grant, oh grant, this wish to me. Bury me not on the lone prairie. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.